Hey guys, welcome back to the Can-Do Experiment. I am your host, Can-Do.
And I'm the other host, Heavy.
Today we have two awesome guests from Niagara Quartermaster. We have Simon Cooter. How you doing?
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy. And we got Joel. I actually don't know your last name.
Valancourt. Thanks for having me, guys.
Valancourt?
Turns out he's Welsh.
Welsh. Yeah. Very nice. Perfect. So let's kind of get this ball rolling. We'll start with Simon. So what's your call sign? How long have you been playing? Kind of general, like, who are you as an airsofter?
As an airsofter, I started in 1999, finding my first couple of guns came out of suitcases out of Hong Kong.
Oh, God.
Picking them up in midnight fields, and then 3 months later, I have to get some mags for these guns, too.
That helps.
Yeah. Back when there were bulletin boards.
Okay.
You know, and that's how Airsoft got started. And, we got a big game. Where is it? Marlboro Forest. Where the hell's that?
I don't know.
Got time to go to Ottawa.
Oh, man.
And, there's a guy there. Oh, but he's not showing up till 11, and he's got four mags for your G3. Fantastic. We'll have to wait. But
that is a different world compared to when we play now.
When we started, we used to go to the, eventually there was the tax show.
Yeah.
At Brian McMillan used to hold. And we used to get that, go there, and that's where you used to find your stuff, all the gear and whatever else. Or, more importantly, somebody who could fix your gun.
Yeah.
You know, I walked around one time with a little placard that said, anybody can fix a Spaz 12 Tokio Marui shotgun?
Paying
big dollars.
Oh, man.
Found somebody. And thank God, you give the gun off. And he said, well, where do you live?
Another
trip back to Toronto from St. Catharines.
That's wild.
I think my first gun dock was in Barrie, so I had to make excuses to go visit every time. But yeah. It was challenging, finding stuff, playing in parks, making sure you didn't get caught running around. Nowadays, I think back and saying, what an idiot I was.
I think everyone's first year playing,
Everyone
looks back and goes, holy crap, I was an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely make for the best stories.
Oh, for sure.
We had a great time.
And shooting pop cans and all that.
So now it's morphed into me owning a store for the last 12 years and team commander of the Canadian Marines local airsoft team. And that's more recent addition from this past year.
Okay. Like, what made you develop from being a player to a airsoft store owner?
Well, I was a player first.
Yeah.
And as time went on, I was in and out of the sport for a little bit.
Yeah.
And one day I was going to say, hell with it. I'm selling everything.
Okay.
I'm done. I can't find anybody to play with. This just sucks.
I got no friends.
Well, none of my friends play.
Yeah.
I had to meet all new people and mentioned it to somebody. And all of a sudden, two guys walk in my door. Well, who are you guys? Well, I heard you have airsoft for sale. I said, maybe. Maybe I have stuff. Who are you guys? Well, we have airsoft too. And all of a sudden, we were now three. Next day, we were six.
Oh, shit.
And a big game was eight people. And we started off playing up at... in your woods, Aussie Paintball in Welland. They're since gone now.
I was going to say, I don't even think I've ever heard of that place before.
Yeah, big game for us was 8 to 10 people. And could only play Mondays because, of course, paintball was all king. And as a result, we morphed from there, and then we found other fields, and it grew, and we helped build it all up, essentially.
That's wild.
Until we eventually got our own field up in West Lincoln.
Yeah.
And now we average, 45 to 65 people every Sunday.
That's awesome.
But it morphed, and then I became a store owner at the same time. So I had a little change of career path as well.
Because I remember we talked about this, years ago. Where did you sell books or something like that before?
Yeah, I used to sell military history books. I was the largest distributor of that in Canada for 20-odd years. And family-run business. Parents wanted to retire. And I thought, I like army surplus. I collect stuff. I've got packs and packs of stuff in my basement.
Because some people, new players, still want some of that old army stuff, right?
And they're getting harder to find every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we find. The Canadian military really doesn't surplus much anymore. So.
Oh, no.
But no, it became a challenge. And then 2010, we moved to the location where we're at.
Mm.
And I haven't looked back. I mean, we just do our thing. We don't care what anybody else says. And we just, otherwise, I'll have an ulcer by then.
Yeah,
but, we've really helped grow the local community to where we're at now. And, so much so that we see a lot of Niagara players at all the big games nowadays. And they're a pretty dominant force, I think.
Yeah, like I've only been playing for 7 years now, and only and which is a lot more than some people. They come and go within the season.
The average is two.
Yeah, but no, I've seen crazy developments with the store alone.
Yep,
in Airsoft. Just so Joel doesn't look like he's all by himself in the corner. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that's good. Good day today.
So how did you, we'll kind of repeat questions for you. What, do you have a call sign? What got you in Airsoft? What brought you to this neck of the woods?
I'm a transplant from Barrie, actually, as funny as Simon mentioned. Yeah, I'm from up north. I had my start actually in the paintball community. Okay. And was at Wasega Beach. Steve Langman's field back in the day was under the old water tower.
How long were you in Airsoft or paintball, sorry?
I want to say just over 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, just over. I want to say probably teens to, you know, refereeing and, you know, Sunday walk-on, stuff like that. I guess right through till, you know, university type deal.
Okay.
But always kind of drawn to it for the community. Mm. Always something to research, always something to learn. It just never felt like a sport that was complacent. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, and ended up falling in love with Airsoft when I had a chance to meet a lot of the individuals that were coming through the four walls of this building. For me, it was a little bit more than a retail store or hobby. I really found I kind of glommed onto the sense of community, where there was a lot of awesome individuals. Was really excited to, you know, just get a chance to meet a lot of new faces. And the common ground was Airsoft as the language.
Yeah.
But I was interacting with all sorts of people that didn't really have any excuses to talk to, or right? How do you make friends in your 30s?
Well,
you
know? One, great question. I don't know the answer to that one. But like, excuse me, the community in Airsoft I find is fantastic because you meet people that you wouldn't, like you said, wouldn't normally run into. Like I know a guy, you probably know him, Phil, or Heavy. Hi, Heavy. I was talking about Phil because he's got a cool job of he makes glass eyeballs. Like, what? Like, how would I normally meet this person if I wasn't meeting him through Airsoft?
He's an artiste.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's wild.
Pretty cool skill. Pretty cool skill.
I was just saying, if it wasn't for this store in Airsoft, you and I never would have met.
No.
Even when I first started playing.
Yeah.
Simon can attest to this. I used to just come into the store and I would just hang out for hours.
That's commonplace, though. But I now have a coach in my office.
I've done it.
It's true. That is very
Everyone still does.
But that's exactly the
sense of it. It's really a clubhouse.
Yeah. All I want to do is buy a bag of BBs today. That's it.
3 hours later.
3 hours later. You're still at the store. You're
staying for pizza, too?
Yeah. And it's just.
We got drinks after work. Yep.
Yeah. But that's exactly what it is. And it's such a great thing that we have for this sport. And I'm so happy that it's continuing on today. And
yeah.
In light of everything that's going on, you know.
The world is weird.
Well, the world, the fact that the community is still staying strong, it's a great thing.
Yeah, this region's pretty awesome. And, like, in short, you could just say without Simon playing bushcraft and with Airsoft guns, we wouldn't be friends. We wouldn't have a podcast. So maybe we're sponsored by NQ. Who knows? Maybe he'll give us more discounts.
Is that a hint? Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink, I need new BDUs, please. And so does Pete.
Oh, boy.
For me, though, I really want to say it evolved not just past a hobby, but I was getting more and more out of it other than social contacts. You know, like mental health, killer break from life.
We see a lot of that here, the mental health aspect.
Yeah, right? A lot of people using it as a very healthy outlet. A lot of community team building aspects, and
we've had some quite the stories lately. You know, from guys who've gotten into Airsoft over issues with family, parents, people passing in their life, and it's like sometimes we get more information than we actually. You know, we're just okay, yeah. And wow, you know, good for you. And if we're here and we're trucking along, our field's open every Sunday for you.
Yeah, it is pretty well with the type of people that you do meet. Within these four walls, and I think it's a beautiful thing, actually.
Keeps it interesting. Really
cool. Yeah, right? Yeah. And, like, mental health alone, like, in the winter seasons, like, some blue days, and then it's just like, the field's open. Let's go. The store's open.
Always something to look forward to.
Store's open.
For me, it's a new gun.
New gun, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The
gun. I just got my gun back from Roscoe. I got a sick paint job. Like,
I'm waiting for mine.
Oh, yeah? What do you got going on there?
I got a new M4 with Centurion Arms 13.5-inch rail, all tan, accessories. He's painted. I didn't want 15 colors of tan like everybody can attest to.
Yeah.
So he's done all of them in one color. So we'll see.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Like, is it like a, do you have a color palette or?
No,
or?
It was a basic build, but he did another one for us for the store and we may raffle it off. I don't know yet, but we did, he did a beautiful multicam black Rhodesian pattern on a G36C. And it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I saw that online. Been sending us some pretty handsome stuff lately.
Yeah, that guy, he's got talent. Yeah. I would love to have him sit with us sometime and discuss his process about that. So with everything kind of happening in the world of airsoft right now, what do you think is the most challenging thing for old and new players to just kind of deal with?
The threat of being banned plays heavily into my mind daily.
Yeah.
Ever since last... Well, older and newer players and stores, I think you might have to put into that.
Yeah,
as well.
Stores.
Last year was tough. I mean, we had a two-month lockdown from January. We missed our Boxing Day, et cetera.
Yeah.
February was closed. Then March, we can reopen. And then 4 days later, we get a possible bill that says it's going to ban airsoft. And that affected a lot of veteran players because now you say, oh, am I going to get that gun?
Yeah,
probably not.
Maybe not, yeah.
And then we go for a month and then we have 2 more months off or 2.5 months off. Mm-hmm. And then we got a number of newer players, but everything on everybody's mind, whether it's new or old, what's going to happen? And so that played heavily into everything last year.
Yeah.
Thankfully, right now, the bill didn't pass.
Yeah, that was still scary.
A threat of it. There's still the menace of it.
Yeah, it's a pretty scary time because it's just like, I'm not a gun owner, but I am an airsoft gun owner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for stuff like that to pass, that ruins my hobby. That is my joy, yeah. Right?
And absolutely.
Your livelihoods and other people's livelihoods.
So, and then that threat passes for the time being. And then all of a sudden we morph into, like everybody's experiencing, is the supply chain.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to have a couple more windows full of, gas pistols, and now I'm down to one.
Yeah.
And that fluctuates up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I've added half a dozen to more suppliers just to find, silicone oil. like last year, that was a real challenge.
For real. Yeah.
Things people don't think about. It's just like, oh, you move into a new house. Oh, you know, I need a fucking can opener. And then you go, you can't find it.
Yeah. And so from that type of standpoint, from a store owner who is also a player, just finding stuff is become a difficulty. And now...
As if with it wasn't hard enough already.
We've seen a 20 to 30% increase across the board on everything.
That's good.
And this year, I think it will probably just be worse.
Mm.
So that's from my standpoint. I imagine Joel has another point of view.
Yeah, what you got, Joel?
Old and new players alike, I really find that kind of, I don't want to say being the fresh set of eyes, but being newer to the region and still newer to the sport, I really think the bottom line, besides community and team building, would definitely be the elitism. I'd really like to see a little bit less of those having trouble voicing it. How would you say it? Just the bottom line's fun.
Yeah,
you need to be having fun.
And some people forget that it's a fun sport.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter what brand you're shooting, and it doesn't matter how much you spent on your BDUs. It doesn't matter how much you spent on your gear bag. Mm-hmm. It's who you're with and what you're having a good time with the company you're with.
Yeah.
And I think that really should be the bottom line that it's dialed back to.
Yeah. Like I've seen over the years, like people nitpicking, like, what BB are you using? And I'm like, what the fuck does that matter? It's a BB.
Yeah, right?
Is it round and smooth?
Is it 6 millimeter?
Yeah.
Well, let's fucking go. Like,
yeah,
no, is it biodegradable? Yes or no? That's the only questions you need.
No, there's no best gun as long as you're enjoying your gun.
Exactly.
Just go out and have fun.
You've all seen my gun.
Old and new players alike.
My gun is ugly.
But you have a sleeper gun now.
She's a sleeper.
I've seen what that gun can do.
Okay. Out of all my years, I finally put some money into it. So
it's still the ugliest. It's still ugly.
It's hideous. There's parts missing, all sorts of shit. But man, she's tight. I can't wait to take her out in the field and play. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, like you're saying, like elitism, that's a hard one. I think for any sport though, there's elitism, right?
Yeah, for
what
sure.
What kind of cleats are you rocking, bro? It's like, I don't know. Like
Yeah, the ones that grab the dirt.
Right. Like, does it grab dirt? Yeah. Well, then who cares?
Yeah, working exactly. As intended. Yeah, we're good. Does it throw BBs at other humans? Yeah, okay, it's working.
Well, in essence, we're shooting corn balls at everybody, right? Well,
yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And yeah. I think playing in a cornfield at fucking Icebreaker 3 was probably the funniest thing in my life. It's just like cornfield, cornstarch, BBs. Just a fun little turnaround, I thought.
Go back to your home. Go back to your home.
Exactly, right?
Were you just terrorizing the corn? This used to be your family. Now they're in my gun.
This used to be yours. Now it's mine.
Go back to nature.
Oh my gosh. That's good. Have you got anything to add to that one?
Well, you guys all know I'm not a big gun guy. Like, I don't do real steel at all. And I've said this on other episodes and things like that. But it does come down to fun. But when I get a lot of guys that are like, oh, like, I want, like, all my guns have real steel parts and all this and that. Like, that's awesome. If that's what you're into, I think that's great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it also means that you shouldn't be shaming somebody else if they have something that's, like, the bargain brand off the wall or, God forbid, even like a clear soft gun, right?
Yeah.
If that's all you have access to and you want to come out and play, that's what you should be doing. Well, now, obviously, other people are going to have an advantage on the clear soft guns for very obvious reasons, but it does come down to the fact that everybody just needs to come out and have a good time together and support each other. That's the biggest thing, because if everyone supports each other, we can continue to grow this community, right? And that's a huge thing.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. What game was that? Narco. That there was a kid that had a clear soft rifle, and he was planking kids, and it's just like, holy crap, dude. Like,
I think I'd be more excited to see that than a guy who has a gun that's completely like...
It was...
Like just done.
It was wild. And I don't even know who the guy's name is or anything like that. Just a kid in a blue shirt. And I'm like, who is this kid? Like, I think I saw him at Icebreaker 5 the past year. But yeah, he's just playing the game, clear, soft, just loving life. But now I have the thought process. Could we get Colin to make a clear soft gun a sleeper?
Oh, he can do anything. Colin's a wizard at this stuff. The problem is finding a clear soft gun.
Canyon Tire? No?
Maybe we still have that MP5 kicking around.
They got some stuff at Bass Pro.
All right. If
The sleeper clear soft.
But except the problem is like... You'd be able to see right through it and see the internals, like a clear soft HPA. Can you imagine that? Oh my
God. Yo, man, what engine you running? Actually, I don't know. Let me read this.
It'd probably work because there's less tolerances.
Yeah, there's no spring or anything like that,
no
right?
No, nothing. Yeah. I bet we could do it. I not bet I can do it. I know Colin could do it.
Oh, I have no doubt.
I couldn't do it. He might be able to.
He may look at us and say we're weird. He's not here.
It's not behind me, thank God. I can feel his eyes on the back of my neck, like, oh God.
He'd be glaring at all of us if he heard this conversation.
He is in the next room, so maybe he is. Yeah. I don't know.
He's probably shaking his head right now.
Well, like, we'll see if
he accepts the challenge.
I remember a couple of years ago, I brought a couple of friends to the zombie game that you guys ran over the years throughout Halloween. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, so it's shotgun, pistols kind of thing or whatever. I had extras. So my friends that came out, I'm like, here's a pistol, here's a shotgun. All right, let's go. And you did a draw before the game started, and I won a clear soft pistol. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm using this now. Here's my good pistol, friend. I'm going to rock this thing. And I ran that for 2 or 3 weeks before I broke it. It was fantastic. It was just like, yeah, you just pull all the BBs in it, give it a little shake, fills it up, keep going. I was like, this is, and it was quiet, and it was just hard enough to make contact and people know that they're hit. I was like, man, this is fantastic.
Living the dream.
Right. And then we HPA tap it, put a little M4 adapter on it, and then a couple of speed triggers.
3D print that.
Oh my God.
I would love to go to a big game and do it like Narco or something.
I want to see you do Recce with the clear soft.
All right, I'll do it. Who's funding it?
You just have to believe in yourself.
Oh, if we can build it, you can use it.
Yeah?
Oh, why not?
And that's how we're sponsored by NQ, everyone.
Get your Clearsoft HPA rifles here. Yeah. Oh,
top quality, clear plastic. I would absolutely love to do that, so I'm in.
What if I get Roscoe just to paint it clear? Translucent.
He is that talented. He'll take something solid and paint it clear.
Yeah.
That'll be fantastic. So speaking of like other games and all that kind of stuff, what are the top five games you have attended?
Oh boy.
It can be top five for good or bad. Does matter to me.
I remember playing out in Pennsylvania at Red Storm Rising in an old lace factory run by Lion's Claw. Yeah.
Games. Lion Claw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun for one of my big first, games, besides John Liu talking, the organizer talking for about 40 minutes before we, you know, in a cold parade ground early April. The facility was 20 buildings, three multiple stories, wow. Tunnels. It put most of our training to test where you're doing rolling tees and leapfrogging and everything else. Yeah. You know, good transitions from light to dark, multiple staircases, and about 400 players.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Was a good time. It was something, you know, spread over 2 days. I did another game. I liked it so much. I did another game they did in, where was it? Cleveland. We went to the Mall of Americas.
I've heard about the mall.
That got closed down, except for the Burlington Coat Factory that was in there. And we walked in. It was a little disorganized. I think it was like one of those a little bit haphazard, but it was more the thrill of fighting in something, you know, like a giant mall.
Yeah, and like
going through the back doors, through the back of the museum or the stores and such, and the back tunnels and everything.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to play in like a big mall or some place that's run down. Because when I started Airsoft, that's when that school in Welland was being ran by.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had just started playing when that was like just kind of finishing or whatever. So I heard about it after the fact, and then that was like the closest I've been to playing in a place that was going to be torn down.
And for us, we're going in that mall, everything was destructible. So next day you didn't see these guys with hydration packs. The hydration pack was gone, and in its place was a sledgehammer. We all gone to Walmart and loaded up on sledgehammers. And we're walking down, and we got all 11-man squads. And all you see this guy with a giant-ass sledgehammer, wham, 12-foot plate glass window shatters into a million pieces. Yes. Breach, breach, breach. And then they run in. And what I couldn't understand was, why was there so much mud on the floor inside an indoor mall? And it's all the water leakage had killed all the ceiling tiles.
Oh,
it
shit.
It looked like baby mud, you know, baby puke mud. Whatever. And you just slipped and slide right through. So you breach, and then you start skidding about 20 feet, and then you hit a wall.
It's like a Boondock Saints thing or something where the guys come through the ceiling. They're just spinning around being badasses, but they're just goofballs. And
fighting in Magic Johnson Theater, 12 cinemas. Of course, that's where they put the Op 4, right, in the projectors.
The booth?
Yeah. What a mess. But that was a good time.
Sounds like a bloodbath.
I did a number of the original Force Recon games.
Mm-hmm.
They were always good time.
That's good.
But as of late, I'm still looking for... I haven't been to any of the Black Cell games, I hate to admit. Maybe this summer. Maybe it'll be my next new favorite game.
You should. It's a good time.
Somebody's got to work, though, right?
You got Joel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what your retail monkey's for.
Yeah.
I'm good at it.
Yeah, just puts the beautiful hair to work.
But yeah, no, I've had some good games. It's, you know, but sometimes the best games are just 20 guys out in the forest, and you know.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's just like I have lots of memories of playing at your field and other fields, and it is just silly situations that makes things great.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with Gabe from Aegis earlier today. We had lunch, and we're reminiscing on some games that we've been to, and one of our favorite moments is the last half hour of a game. And what happened was we're keeping people in their CP. I'm on one side of the road. He's across the road from me. I'm like, oh, my battery's down or whatever. And all I hear from him is, whose battery dies the last 20 minutes of the game? And I'm like, screw you, dude. We keep playing. And then he goes, oh, hit. I look at my watch. Who dies the last 14 minutes of the game? And we just kept going back and forth. And it was just down to like the last minute. Who runs out of mags the last 2 minutes of the game? And it's just like stuff like that. It's just the op could have been totally crap. It could have been great, but it's just like those moments that make the game as great as it is.
It's what you make it, right?
Yeah. And for what kind of game style you kind of want to start up with when it comes to a Black Cell game, if you want to more relax, kind of hang out, have a good time, Narco is definitely a fun time for that. If you want something a bit more on the serious side, I would do Conquer or Dark Zone. That's a good one. So it really depends on what kind of tier level you want to be there at some point.
We plan on doing vendoring at all of them. So
nice.
I think that's in the game plan right now. Something we're working on, our marketing strategy.
Ooh, okay, we're going to touch back on that in a second because I want to ask Joel what his top games are.
Actually, before we get into that, we probably should mention that Black Cell is our sponsor. They are our main sponsor.
They are the main sponsor of
Shout out to those guys. And just so you know, April 16th, 17th is the Dark Zone redo. So obviously that game did not run as well. They had hope last year. So they're, you know, anyone who had attended is going to be able to go back and play the game again.
Mm-hmm.
May 14th weekend, you got Parabellum 3.
Yes.
It's always a fun game. It's a very interesting dynamic for that one. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, I know. I know. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And then,
we're sponsored all of them.
Well, there you go. July 30th weekend, we've got Narco State 6 again.
Yes.
Super laid back game. A lot of fun, though. So many things to do.
Last year's commander for Stone Tower was super cute, and it looked really good in Hawaiian from what I heard.
Oh, yeah?
His name was Kandu.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Oh, that's me. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Had no idea.
Wyatt was an amazing opposer, though, I will say, for the Yakuza.
And then after that, we got August 20th, Conquer 2. Now, I didn't get to go to Conquer 1.
So, from what I heard, so fun.
There was so much to do that if you had nothing to do during that game, you were playing wrong. Because those guys threw in so many objectives and so many different things. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I've heard, again, I missed the first one, but nothing but great feedback, right?
I think we got maybe a quarter of the list done, and that is just constant playing for 18 hours.
Yeah, and then last but not least, on September 17th weekend, we got Warzone 2. With everything going on, dates might change, obviously. As of now, this is where we sit. But so, yeah, thanks again to those guys for being our sponsor, and sorry to cut you off earlier, but yeah, go on.
Oh, that's fine. Joel, my friend.
Yeah, I had a...
Top five, if you have any. Because you're still
to,
new,
yeah,
right?
As opposed to a top five, I can more think of almost in individual engagements. I think it was so fun being the fresh set of eyes because when I was at, it would have been Icebreaker this year. I think Icebreaker in August. The ice was breaking because it was 38 degrees outside.
Plus humidity. It felt like 46.
Plus humidity, I think in American speak.
Wasn't there flooding as well?
A flooding of sweat and dead bodies.
The other enemy was definitely the weather. But I really loved just seeing the different tiers of gear that was out there. You could see guys, we mentioned, you know, we were joking about Clearsoft and, keeping elitism out of it and stuff. But there was something to be said for having your jaw down to your chest with some of the gear that was out there where, you know, some of the setups and, you know, some of the vehicles that were being driven for that ultimate camping experience.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would see, you know, some of the gear that was out on the field. So really kind of my, first delve into more airsoft style mill sims was, you know, just enough to enough to be jaw dropping for the first experience. But
yeah, that was your first big game, right? Yeah.
As far as big games go. And I really enjoyed too. Just another quick shout out for the Black Cell guys actually putting on an awesome event that is actually newbie friendly.
Yeah.
I really didn't find any of those engagements overwhelming, even with a few hundred individuals holding rifles. Just that's organized.
For Icebreaker?
This particular one, I think it was Parabellum, was also another really good experience.
We ran together a little bit for Parabellum. Icebreaker is ran by Crywolf.
Crywolf. No, but Parabellum had an awesome, just a fantastic time for the NPCs, the scripts.
They're fun, man.
Limitless amount of patches. Let's face it, we all love patches. So the limitless amount of patches. But no, it was the time and effort that goes in behind the scenes. There's different, there's something to be said for writing a script, and there's something to be said for writing a script with a little bit of passion.
Yeah.
Time and effort goes into those games, and it shows. So as far as, yeah, again, mentioning those, you know, outlets and getting a airsoft taste test, you know, yeah, times a few hundred individuals out there. Yep. Just, wow, a weekend unlike any other. Yeah, man, different.
It was a good time, and it is really refreshing as, like, I'm not elitist or anything like that, but I've just been around the block a couple of years, and it's just nice seeing a friend or a new friend, right?
Because
we met this a year ago.
Yeah. So
it's nice seeing a new friend who I've known from behind the counter to now being in the field. I'm like, oh, watch him go. Watch him do a thing. Oh, he went through a doorway. Yeah. Oh,
look at him learn. He's a big boy now. Look at
my little baby bird.
He's learning.
He's learning. Flying. It's beautiful. I just really enjoyed it. And like Parabellum, because like Norco, or well, not Norco, Icebreaker, I wasn't able to really play with people because I was part of the command structure.
Yep.
Shout out to Adam for being awesome. And Colin. But then for Parabellum, do what you want, basically. Like, yeah. There's no structure for
all about those command. Coins. All about those coins.
Get those coins, bro. And so then we just went and we're like, okay, let's fucking go. And then
always something to do.
Exactly. Were you there when I got sent to prison? Not real jail.
I had to buy you out. I had to find the coins for your exfil.
Yeah. So the
door wouldn't open without the coins.
So my point of view on that one was Matt goes, hey, I think there's a bunch of coins in the back corner there. And I'm like, that sounds fishy, but I'll bite. So then and that was in the loading dock where they got like the big sliding door. So I'm like, okay, the door's wide open. I go in and I'm trying to remember who I was with, like Kevin or something. And all of a sudden you hear, I'm like, fuck. Okay. And turn around. Nice job, guys. Knocking on the door. All right, you can let me out. And then she's like, nope, you're in prison now. You know, someone's got to buy you out. And Joel, you were on the other side of that door. So how'd that go? I
played the worst Waldo of gold coins. So I could buy my friend back out.
Yeah, it was definitely challenging because I was like looking out the window. And it's like the one guy's like, oh, we can jump on that box, you know, and then jump out. I'm like, what box are you looking at? And he goes, oh, that one. I'm like, that's like a big plastic crate thing. I'm like, dude, I'm falling through that. Like, go for it, but I'm not doing that. No, thank you. But thank you for playing.
These are the stories we mean, though. These are the stories we mean. That there's not a whole lot of activities I can get up to on a weekend where I have to buy my friend out of fake jail with fake gold coins, holding a gun,
fake gun,
in all fake, dozens of acres of land. That's what I mean by interesting. It's little stories so like fun. That. They're all fun.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, thanks,
Joel. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly, right? But yeah, those kind of games, it is wild. And I do look forward to actually having Mitch and Matt on the show because, you know, they sponsor us.
So we should awesome.
Have them on the show eventually, hopefully.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it a while ago. It was supposed to be like the first or second episode. It just didn't work.
No. Yeah, that was because we were recording the night before Dark Zone, and then things change, and then they're like, we're busy. And I'm like, yes, sir.
So things happen.
And then we got Matt, Kyle, and Adam on.
Yeah.
So,
but touching on the subject for that Parabellum story, I was part of the command structure, and I didn't find out about this until like after it had all gone down. And so when you guys came back, oh, Caleb was in jail, but we bought him out. I was like,
what?
What? I had no idea. Brian may have known. I can't speak for him.
But I
feel like if it was Brian, he probably would have looked at you guys and laughed and said, figure it out.
Yeah.
Airsoft is where I get all my critical thinking skills.
Right? Well, it's just like, I know through airsoft and video games, I should not go for this.
But there might lollipops be and puppies. Box. There might be items in the box.
Right? It's just like,
it's like when you're looking at the wall and it just looks slightly different. And he's like, that's a hidden door.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like, should I go in there? I don't know.
I know for but a fact. Again, if I pull on that book, I'm going through a new room.
You should know better that
that
is going to mess with you of all people.
Yeah.
Like just because he can.
He, that son of a bitch, he messes with me as often as he can. And it works every time because one, I'm like, My curiosity got the better of me because I'm like, I feel it's a trap, but there could be something in there. Who knows? Like maybe there is just a box of some candy or I don't know. So then I was like, yeah, I'll bite. I'll go for it. And sure enough, we lost 3 coins. Thank you.
It was a trap the whole time.
It was a trap the whole time.
The whole time.
So there it is, folks. As ambassadors, we are not treated better during the game. We are treated
worse. Oh, it's, I don't know, it's a good time.
Regardless. Oh, it's great. It's makes the it's it, it makes adds so much more to the game. It makes it more interesting. It's fun.
It makes it to a top 5 questionnaire. Yep. Have you even played 5 games, Joel?
Not Milsims.
No.
No, I don't have those under my belt yet.
Paintball,
Indeed, yeah.
That's
actually
what I mean.
No, if you want to dial it back that far, we were actually doing Wayne Dolak scripts out of the southern United States. Actually, he'd come up to Wasega Beach and
good back in the day,
good old fashioned pyrotechnics and loudspeakers and soundtracks and just a good good old American kickoff. Yeah, as far as throwing paint at each other went. So that was kind of my first delve into that. Yeah, for sure.
When I think of paintball, and this is just because I don't know any better, I always think of like the speedball setting, right?
Now, right, correct.
Was it more of like, when you were playing, was it more of like a Milsim style, or was it more speedball?
There was actually a little bit of both. Both were kind of up and coming, very much like our industry, where it was just kind of, I think it was CX PL. Mm. And, everything from the Wasega Beach Boys and stuff like that would go, blow up inflatable bunkers with leaf blowers and, mirror that field. Or the Milsim style format, because you always had your guys that, wanted to rock the camo or mag fed or they were auto mags and pump auto cockers were the guns of choice. Yeah, it was an auto cocker that you'd actually have to physically operate the front end with a gravity fed hopper.
Oh, and it was the old Sheridans.
Yeah, auto mag, and we're going back probably pre Tippmann.
That's what we used to use when I played a paintball.
Glorified cattle markers.
10 rounds.
Yeah, glorified Sheridan, cattle pump markers. Action,
gravity fed.
Oh, yeah. No, praying gravity was on your side.
I used to have a clear soft shotgun for paintball.
If you were really lucky, you had the 50 cal or the 50 or 60 cal paintball revolver.
Ooh, those were the best. That sounds cool. Yeah,
they make them again. I just saw them listed for one of my suppliers.
Oh, that's like awesome.
A lot of fun.
No, so we had our choice, our bit of a pick of the litter for what we wanted to do. So it was just kind of our neck of the woods, subscribed to a little bit more paintball and the staff. And I think the biggest thing I related with the staff at Wasega Beach Paintball, as much as it was run as a business, is a business there for the community as well. They were always researching new game modes and making improvements. They'd be talking about things in their off hours. Very much what I really liked about Simon, Colin, even Dan and Cheryl, for that matter. There's a lot of passion that goes in behind the scenes. And I really do enjoy the games, but I really enjoy all of the research and time and effort that goes in. Cats like you guys doing a podcast on your Saturday, rare days off, still eating, sleeping, breathing, talking airsoft, right? Like, it's just, because your work day doesn't finish, right then and there, doesn't mean the passion stops. Mm-hmm. And I just find that because there's always something to learn, if you were to, put the computer monitor away for a couple of weeks and, log on to your favorite airsoft website, new product, always something new. Whether or not you can get it, totally different story. But, stock shortages aside, always something new in the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy coming in, and then like a new shipment and stuff comes in, and Simon goes, check this out.
It's coming.
He's like, look at this. I'm like, ooh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, I want to order more. I'm like, order one extra more, please. It's like, it's coming. I'm like, okay.
It's really hard not spending your paychecks.
It is hard.
It's brutal.
Man. If Caleb back in his 20s knew about airsoft now, that's bad. That's a lot of paychecks going around the drain for me.
Even thinking about struggle. I was earlier when you were talking about the early days of Niagara Quartermaster. I remember sitting in the car driving and hearing the old commercials for Niagara Quarter,
surplus
and all that. Do you remember that?
I remember.
Still got them.
No, I know, but
I got them digitally. Maybe we can play them.
Oh, awesome. Yes. But that
I just had flashbacks, and I don't know why.
So you were listening to 97.7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those commercials, and it was always just like.
All right, you're going to have to give us a copy of that so we can throw it in here.
Sure.
That's super cool.
That'd be fantastic. So how long has Niagara Quartermaster been a store then?
So I started in 2009.
2009.
Operating out of my other warehouse in St. Catharines.
Yeah, tell us how it all evolved into what we
I had the space now. Available. I had contacts in the industry, especially for surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And then back then it was G&G and ICS Clearsoft.
Yeah, top and qualities.
If you had a black gun, you were king.
Ooh.
And I started selling those. And over the years, that just morphed with the way the laws changed. And, mm-hmm. you know, the big ticket was when, oh, the gun shoots 430 FPS. You can bring them in. All of a sudden, you see all these black guns. They didn't fire worth a damn, or your springs would break or something would snap. And then a little bit longer, another year or two goes by. Hey, look at that. We're at 366 FPS or higher. And then the floodgates opened. And everybody had a store where, well, there's what, over 50 some odd stores in Canada now.
Is there now?
Yeah. Whether some of them are still in mom's basement or, you know, actually online only or a physical bricks and mortar. But I think there's just about over 50 something.
I feel when it comes to online buying, it's so, so tough for me at least, because I like to go in and have it in hand and be like, this is what I want.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It's like trying on shoes and, you know, like, oh, well, they fit tight or these ones fit big. And I'm like, I don't fucking know.
With clothing, you really want to do that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like Emerson's gone through different pants, Shadow, Condor, like, they all fit differently. For me, I have to make sure that it will go over my ass when I put pants on, but I don't want to be looking like I'm wearing like the big parachute pants at the same time, right?
No.
I have a big booty, Eric. Come on. It's a problem.
I thought you were going to go the route of you like to go into the stores to hold the gun to see, oh, wow, this gun's a lot heavier than I thought it'd be. Do I want to run this for an 18-hour game?
I mean,
if that's a route I thought you were going to go with that whole thing, and they just decided to talk about your ass. So
it's beautiful.
I thought it was all about him anyway.
It is my show.
It's our show.
Now
thank
it's
you
our,
very much.
Now it's our show.
It's always been our show.
You can fit the booty in the thumbnail.
That's it. There's our title.
It's just going to be one big peach.
That's what?
Dead ass.
Das.
But no, like for a lot of players, there's like, there are some giant people that I know in the airsoft community, like Flavel. He's a big person compared to myself or Brad or the ladies of the sport. Sorry for hitting the table. Like I find it, you just can't go online if it's a store in your mom's basement or online only. I just something about that just
actually we actually find that that's what makes us a destination during a global pandemic where shopping really has, you know, there's been a large transition towards online shopping, but because you can come in and handle everything in store, people are a big fan of fit and finish. Knowing what they're getting, you know, right then and there. And especially too, not only do we not subscribe to a commission based structure here, but it's really rewarding being a staff member, not on commission, because I spend a lot more of my time educating and cultivating players.
Yes.
So when you're bumping up the community as opposed to selling to the community, I find that even some of my best clients didn't start off as some of my best clients. So they started off with an airsoft taste test. Mm-hmm. And as they got a taste, you know, they started coming in, and it was a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope of the sport.
I have.
So we're, you know, we're big fans of handing everything over the counter.
Yeah.
You know, handle it, you know, try it out right then and there.
I still do it.
Yeah.
You always hand me stuff.
It's really important.
Fantastic.
It's great. Like, great school show and tell.
It's awesome. Like, I remember my first, like, before I even started airsoft, I was still in college, so I was, you know, a little weary on spending money. And my buddy Dan, yeah, man, let's go to NQ. It's an airsoft store I heard about somewhere, maybe an awesome radio station, who knows. And I was like, okay, like, what is it about? And he's like, oh, it's like paintball, but like way more tactical. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. This is awesome. So then we get here. I remember one time I freaking took a bus here on a Monday. And as you all know, you're never open on Mondays.
Yeah.
It was the longest bus ride home. It was the worst. But then next
disappointment,
Disappointment.
Did you have to just sadly wait at the bus stop for it to come back and get you?
Yeah.
So when did you buy your car?
I don't know. My wife bought a car that subscribed to Mondays.
Right? Don't show up on a Monday. You'll be sad. But like, so I show up the next day, and there was a whole different slew of people behind the desk and all that stuff at the time, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm getting into it, blah blah blah, and I'm so many questions. So like, one guy, I forget his name. I think it was Josh, probably. I remember three of them: Josh, Ben, and some other guy, and
me.
You probably
me.
but I was just like, I couldn't remember any other names, so I'm just like, big beard, little beard, no beard guy. That's kind of it. And then, yeah, they're just, you know, you're asking about this, you're asking about that. Okay, what do I need? What is this? And that guy spent like an hour just like talking to me in one sitting of, these are the things you're going to need. This is how much, this is that much. You know, you don't need 670 magazines or whatever, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, really broke it down. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of customer service has continued and grown into what it is now, and it's fantastic. Yeah. By the way,
well, a lot Thank of you. Times yeah.
Simon's like,
it's yeah. a real personal touch. Well,
we've always gone on that consultative selling. I mean, I don't want to sell you stuff you're not going to use. And I've gone through a lot of equipment over the last 20 years playing, enough that I have several bins full. Well, maybe 15 bins, but not to, you know, let my wife know how much crap I have, because most of it sits here now on my wall.
Smart,
yeah, it's all store owned. That's how
it's our own.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
This will make it to the internet.
Yeah, she won't listen to it.
She won't listen.
Okay.
My wife doesn't listen to this, so.
She calls it playing in the forest. I call it paying the mortgage. Right. You know, I've made a lot of those mistakes. I've had 15 different plate carriers, you know.
Yeah.
And we learn from experience, and I'm happy to pass stuff on, whether you take the information or not.
But, yeah.
You know, like, stuff's not cheap nowadays, and you want to kind of get it right the first time. You never will, because your thoughts and choices are going to change.
It's a spend once, cry once kind of sport.
Yeah. Yes and no, right? Because, like, so many people are like, oh, I got into airsoft, what should I get, blah, blah, blah. And there's so many people that have the right answer, but it's not the same answer for everyone else. And no matter how many times you go, don't get a bolt action for your first gun, you know, get something that makes sense. And they go, no, I'm going to get this crazy bolt action because it's Novrich and he's the best and no one beats him and blah, 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 blah. And then you go, okay, now you got it. Now what? Well, now it shoots too hot. Oh, okay.
I don't like sniping.
Right? Now suddenly answer. I don't like sniping. And I'm like, there you go. Yeah.
Like, and we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
That's a classic one. And I just feel new players just need to learn that. Just get a cheap M4 or something to start with.
Don't go too cheap. I mean, no. I think that's also a big problem. People see this stuff. Yeah, I can get that for $1.79. Or not $1.79. You know what I mean?
Airsoft for $1.79? Damn.
Airsoft, I still feel, has always been one of those sports that, or equipment wise, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And not to say, you know, I buy a VSC that's $1,300, your tappet plate's not going to break. Yeah, it's going to break. Mm-hmm. When? We don't know yet. But
finding
if you start off with something decent,
you
know, you're gonna have less worries. And I hate it. I hate selling stuff that if I sell it to Joel and he comes back a week later, Simon, I broke it. Well, that shouldn't happen. We've test fired it. We've done everything before it's left the door.
Yeah.
You know, if something goes wrong, we make it right.
Yeah. You know, quality control. Yeah.
As much as we can. I mean, you know.
If they're taking it apart and putting five different
that's a little bit different. I've seen some kids get brand new gun and then throw it multiple times through a window at the field. Okay.
Like, why?
I'm going to run after my gun. I don't know why. I'm going to take it for a swim in our pond. Okay. That has its repercussions as well. Some stuff as
referees. Lipo batteries, friends.
Can I roll over this with my car? Well, apparently you did.
You can, but you shouldn't.
No. Yeah. but, you know, like, if it's something simple, we'll make it right, because I hate nickel and diming people on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of my policy throughout since I started. Because I rather, you know, I want to be treated as I would like to be treated.
Yeah.
And just the extra help, you know, a little bit of advice, you know, when I buy a new TV, I want to know.
Well, that's the thing too, right? That you go to Best Buy and you're like, I would like a TV. Well, what size do you want? What do you want? And, you know, they converse with you of what kind of TV you want. And then you find out, oh, I actually maybe don't want this one. I kind of want this one instead for whatever reasons, specs and price. And I don't know TVs. So
Yeah. No, but it's a process.
I can only go no, it's, so
it's,
long
it's,
on that
no,
one.
No, it's very much a process. Yeah, I would have to agree. Yeah, that, you know, when you go in there and you've done your YouTube and research and you've delved down the rabbit hole of it's this TV.
No.
But we get the same thing with airsoft guns.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I use this one on Call of Duty. I played this one on Battlefield all weekend. Shoots like a dream. We're like, have you ever carried it in real life?
This, you know? Bull puppy thing, and it's the best because barrel and stuff, which, you know.
Sometimes it's a little bit of hand-holding in the right way. Just, you know, just a little bit of experience to help improve a weekend and no insults. It's not as though we know best, but we can lightly guide in the right direction, you know, just to make sure that, you know, you're going to have the best weekend, you know, we can provide at any field, just as long as you're out there, you know, having a good time.
Like, I think I've owned, I don't know, 20 airsoft toys, which to some people is a lot and some people is never close to enough.
That's a healthy number.
It's a healthy number, I find. Cause
it's a good collection.
One, two, three. Well,
I might have close.
That's
to that.
That's the store's guns, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That's store stuff. Mm-hmm. But in my time, I've at one point made a whole gun rack out of skids because, you know, white chicks love skid crafts, right? So I make it, and then I had like, I don't know, 10 guns on that rack at one point, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, I got so many different guns, and then every single one needs its own set of magazines. And just because you have two M4s doesn't mean you can just get away with running five magazines. Well, what happens if your friend wants to play, or your girlfriend, or whatever, or boyfriend? So then now you need an extra set of M4 magazines. Yeah, you need
about 45.
Well, then exactly, because they lose it too, right? Yep. So then from there, it's like, okay, well, now I got two M4s, and I got like 50 mags for it. Okay, cool. Oh, well, now I got a SIG 5.53 or whatever. Okay, well, that needs its own magazines. And it just kept adding and adding and adding. I'm like, I don't even know what to play with anymore. So then get rid of all of it except for like one of my M4s and my CZ P09. I sold everything else. And then my now wife, mad because I sold her her honey patcher. So I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, so I kind of have to build up again. But like, I don't know. I play on a very regular basis and I have, I don't know, three guns.
Yeah, pretty standard.
Standard, right?
But like, now they're all upgraded.
Almost. Yes. Well, the AK, that's stock out of the box. That thing's awesome. And then the DMR, Collins done some work too. And then I got my M4 and then Teresa's M4. So the M4's definitely got some time.
But I know Heavy's got a sweet gun too.
Oh, he's got some sick guns.
Yeah.
That guy. Oh man, look at him. He's like,
I don't think I own a gun that's not upgraded.
Tell us about it.
Let's get that elitism.
Is that elitist asshole?
I still play with the clear slot players, okay? I'm all for people want to upgrade their guns. Like, I think that's a great thing too, because it changes. It makes your gun unique to you.
Oh yeah.
You know, if that's something that you want to do, you can absolutely do that. I'm not like, I don't think that's being part of the elitist thing that happens.
No, it's a fun element of research.
Yeah, exactly. And then I, like, personally, I can come into NQ and I can just look at Colin. Like, hey, man, I want it to be able to do this. Or in the case of my primary M4 that I built, or that he built for me, I just said,
what? Yeah, I got the same problem. Yeah. Colin's in the building. I just bought this gun. Yeah, can you, what do you think?
Well,
let's do this.
Well, for me, it started with a Retro Arms receiver. And that's it. That's it. That's all I had. And I just looked at Colin and I said, go. And I picked out a rail. And then from there, it just became this monster of a gun. It runs amazing.
Yeah.
And things like that. Even like the Stoner that I run to, he...
Can he make it accurate at all or no?
I don't even care that it's not accurate. It's so much fun to run.
Just some accuracy.
It's so loud. And it keeps people's heads down because it's just a... It's a fun thing to do, man.
I remember.
It's just fun.
I just got a flashback to a game happening at Niagara Quartermaster's Field. And I think Matt Hammond was still playing at the time. And him and I come up to the Petro building. And we knew there was a guy in there. Didn't know exactly where he was. So Hammond's firing at the windows or whatever, just keeping heads down. And I just kind of come in and do a snapshot. I got Buddy right in the nose. I start calling him Rudolph for the rest of the day because that was a bleeder. Good guy, though. Good times. He had a laugh. We had a laugh. So speaking of kind of going backtrack a little bit, for you know, not wanting to make the sales or whatever, because we do know DMZ is just on the other side of St. Catharines for you. What is it like having another airsoft retailer and field within the region? Is it competitive at all? Maybe slightly? Is it?
I wouldn't say it's not competitive, but you know what?
Healthy competitive, maybe?
Yeah,
I think agree. So. I think we have two distinct different fields. I mean, we have a 53 acre field, which gives us a little bit more room to stretch our legs.
Yeah.
We play on 23 of that probably every game most of the time. They have a little bit more tighter space, a little bit more CQB, a lot faster, I think, in some cases.
Yep.
Definitely two styles of play when you go to either or field.
Yeah, I mean.
I got no problems with them. This past year, we ran a speed QB style team. We sponsored, both of us sponsored the same team.
I played against them.
Yeah, and they did very well yet again.
You guys sponsored the same team?
Yeah, we co-sponsored. Oh, I thought that was awesome. For us, that was kind that of, you cool. know, like. We don't hate each other.
Not by any means.
Fun fact, I learned something there.
Yeah, I got the jersey out in the hallway here. Oh. I said, yeah, give me an extra jersey from Laxalt.
we really appreciate that they provide the players another spot.
Absolutely.
No, it's another place to shoot.
But I think that alone answers the question.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's healthy competition.
Yeah, I think you get players that will play at either or. And sometimes you get crossovers. Some will always say, and I think sometimes sometimes the players are a little overzealous and say, this is the place. It is great. If you like this style or you like that style.
That is a big thing. Cause I've,
we said before, as long as you're having fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I've had, friends from out of town be like, oh, I'm going to Niagara this week or whatever. Like what field should I go to? Like, what's the best? And I'm like, I mean, I know Simon the best out of Ryan. Like, I know both owners fairly well. I know Simon more because I've been to his store more often because Simon just has the things that I look for when it comes to gear and whatnot because they do cater to a different clientele sometimes. There's a little overlapping, sure, but then it's like, well, what field's better? I'm like, man, you're comparing two different airsoft fields together. Like, Simon's is all in the woods. There's structures, there's trails, mud,
lots of water sometimes.
Next time you hear a field has mud, just bring boots, not sneakers.
it eats sneakers.
Yeah, for sure. So did fucking Dark Zone, and then people complained it was muddy. It was wild. Yeah, if it's rained within the week, there's going to be mud, like every outdoors place. You go to DMZ, they have a grassed area with Attack Town built on it. They also do speedball there. So it is two wildly different fields. So I'm like, it really depends on your play style. Do you prefer to play outdoors or more CQB?
All these individuals from DMZ to our field are just eating, sleeping, breathing, researching, consuming.
They're pretty hard. They're pretty hardcore.
They're
players.
Pretty hardcore.
They're out every week.
Yeah. No, we definitely love. I really enjoy the passion that comes out of both shops for sure.
Oh yeah.
Those guys are pretty stoked to be out there. There's 8, 9 a.m. Seeing those guys lined up at our front door because you know they're shooting at DMZ and you know just their hours of operation are a little bit different. Yeah. So as long as the players get what they need, you know, it's just everybody needs to be throwing BBs at each other on weekends. So come on over.
Simon, is there anything upcoming for the field this year?
I thought you were about to like cancel the episode. I was like, no, I have no more question at least.
No, we're looking to do maybe a series of small Milsim games this year, like Milsim lights, as I like to call them. You know, like 8 to 10 hour style games.
The Milscrims.
Milscrims, yeah. Well, COVID has kind of shut 9 months of our last 2 years off.
I was a big fan of those games.
So we're going to look at bringing some of those back. Or we're going to hold maybe one or two larger format games.
Okay.
I put it out there to Black Cell that if they want to host a small private party type game, 100-player, 120-player, more power to them, you know. Mm-hmm. We have the referee set for it, so, you know, we can help them out with that. Brings a different twist, or if they want to do some, revolutionary stuff that they can then try on a larger scale.
Let's say.
And then we're also looking at doing our own official Speed QB field as well.
Our
safe zone. So we've staked it out the property now. It's flat enough.
Yeah,
and we'll try to do a regulation size field.
Like right side of the trailer that you have there?
Yep, to the bull rushes.
Okay.
To the kill house area.
Yeah, we've arranged a lot of the supplies.
We've got it all staked out. We're ready to go. We just got to wait for the weather, and hopefully the plywood prices are coming down a little bit. But we're going to try to do a full reg size field, and my sponsored team is willing to give us a hand on that.
Awesome.
And because we do find a lot of younger players, they don't like bugs.
Really?
Surprisingly. Really? And we got a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
As I always tell people, bring your bug spray.
Yeah.
But they
full DEET?
No. We get a lot of woods ball players, but, we get I've seen a lot, a bigger increase than that under 20 range of kids that want to do something fast. Those games, you can play 3 games in 4 minutes. I mean, it's crazy stupid fast. I'm too old for that. I can look at it and say, wow.
Yeah, but, as someone that's played speedball one time, it hurt.
Yeah.
My knees, my back. I'm like, this is a young man sport.
So we'll probably do this on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And, we do stag and does and all types of other private field functions. So our field can run. And then we'll have the Speed QB at the same time.
Well, my bachelor was partly at your field, so that was fun, I think. Do I remember that part?
Remember? You don't remember. I remember. That was a great time.
I remember parts of it.
Yeah, and then we'll carry on with our Sundays, and we've got a couple food drives planned with the United Way again. Those were really well received last year or the year before as well. Yeah. And we try to help out the local West Lincoln, charities that we've dealt with in the past.
Yeah.
And
that's always nice when you go to a game and you know that whatever is happening is helping others
and
pushing things forward like that.
And but with the weather we've had, and a lot of trees have fallen, and so I know we got some cleanup to do.
Yeah, a little bit of cleanup.
Well,
spring cleaning.
Once we can get through the 4 feet of snow to the to our safe zone area.
Yeah, I know the porta potty kind of went for a trip. One time I was there before all the snow, so that's always a good time. Hate to be that guy that cleans it up.
Luckily, it's not me, Joel. No.
Joel, get to it. Chop.
I'll get to it. When it thaws, it'll be that much more enjoyable.
I don't know. I mean, we're still planning our schedule. We're just got to plan when our big games will be around the other schedules that are out there. And that's always, so most of the games I think now have been released, I believe. At least we know what's happening with the, the large format Milsims. And we may get players from those teams coming down just because we know them all.
Well, that's a thing, right? It's fun when teams that you don't normally get to see come into town because it brings a whole new perspective because they're like, oh, well, we play in the woods over here. Let's play in the woods over there.
And a few different dynamics.
But last year I enjoyed the base course you guys ran as well. That was fun. I took part in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Base is a
and I like to see that fun. Something like that. And we're going to use base course rules for this year. So I got to do some re-editing of our field rules, but I want that in place for this year.
Yeah, if just because I was asked from last time we talked about base, for those who do not know what the base course is, it is a sniper. It's a bolt action sniper education program, and it teaches people about minimum engagement distances, when not to shoot, all sorts of great stuff. They do have a Instagram and Facebook page, which I will put in the description down below. I just wanted to put that there because I was asked about that from the previous one. So
no, it was a good time. Hopefully this year we'll get even more players than last.
But, it'll be fun.
I think everybody who went to that course is stuck with it and had a good time for the rest of the season. But as a field owner, I feel that much safer letting these guys go, at what they're doing.
Right, and it's they train for it, and they studied it, and they know what their gun's shooting, how far they're supposed to, how close they're allowed to shoot, and all that kind of stuff. They're educated as opposed to someone that just bought something online and goes, I'm a sniper now. And it's just like, thank you.
Seen that too often.
So. Really excited, too, to two or more fields this year. Not just for the big games, excited for those too, but I really like...
we're going to send some of our brand ambassadors from the store.
Yeah, finding out how other people do it. And yeah, to get some
ideas. Road trips once a month or every 2 months or so. We'll try to hit some other new fields. And
yeah, kiss some hands, shake some babies, and, you know, kind of mate. Did I get that backwards?
You want to switch that around?
I'll never be alderman around here. No, we just want to go see how other people are doing it. Put some more faces to the names.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, you know, get some awesome ideas and really kind of meet the rest of the community so we're not just exchanging Discord messages and, you know, poking each other back and forth on, no, actually go put a face to a lot of the names and, really kind of connect the communities. We were extremely fortunate to come out very healthy from the lockdowns. We were extremely fortunate to weather the storm the way that we did.
Yeah.
There were some individuals that were not as fortunate as us. So, you know, I think it'd be really healthy to get to other areas of the community and stuff like that. And, you know, really kind of touch base with people that are, you know, still looking for techs, new products, things like that. Connect the community.
That'd be awesome. And just inform me when you guys do go to town, because I would love to be part of the that road trip.
Different shooting environments.
Right.
Target-rich environments.
I think it would just be fun. I don't have to be an ambassador or anything like that to have fun.
Another thing, too. I don't know if we had a chance to mention it with you guys earlier, but we not only want to help, you know, deeply root the message in Airsoft, as mentioned earlier in the conversation, but there's a lot of individuals that may need a little bit of help getting into the sport.
Okay.
Or trying it out. Simon had a wonderful idea of doing a new player fund. So you're going to catch the odd red tag in our store or Instagram post. And 100% of those proceeds from the sale of those items will actually be going to help men, women, children, anybody who actually wants to try Airsoft get into the sport. So we're going to be helping out with the purchase of BBs, lower face cages, plate carriers. a lot of stuff that,
you need entrance to the field, or maybe this is your first milsim and we'll cover the cost.
Okay. That's awesome.
And we've had a couple of donors recently get out of Airsoft, and, you know, just time and place.
Life
happens.
Yeah.
And they've donated their whole collection. Man. And so they said, we just wanted to go to other players or whatever you can do.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at some of these beautiful rifles these guys had.
Very said, seasoned players.
I don't know if a first-time player who's never held a gun needs a GHK, AK, full gas blowback, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
donate
why don't we sell that for you and then turn all those funds into something more palatable like BBs and batteries?
We sent that to a wonderful gentleman in BC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to help, and that seemed to be agreeable with the donors. And so we're going to take that on the run and try to help the local community.
Awesome.
And especially if they've never been to a milsim. And so. And obviously, I guess it will be a Black Cell game. can't promote them enough. But yeah, that's what we're thinking.
And, okay.
Help as anybody who wants to try it out, and just help them take the sting out of getting into the sport and, you know, come on out.
And we'll probably do free rentals as well for new players this year as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, then play at a local level, a little bit less intimidating maybe.
Well, yeah, I remember first time going out of town for a big game, and I'm just like, I don't know how to be ready for a big game. Like, how many BBs is enough for a 12 and 18 hour game? Like, socks? I don't know. Like, that is a very intimidating process to go through.
That's all right. We'll send them all with you.
Doesn't have to be intimidating.
Send them with me.
Have to be intimidating. Come learn.
Come learn.
Anytime. Open door.
Yeah, I got a beautiful packing list for that. But I think we're going to pack this up. And he's giving me the single finish. It's been awesome chatting with you guys. This is amazing.
Joel, can we keep doing this when we turn off the mics?
We can.
We just keep talking, right?
We can, for sure. Whatever you want, man. I'm always down to hang out. I don't know if Heavy has any plans tonight or Simon, but
it'll be the behind the scenes NC-17.
There you go.
Yeah, Airsoft.
But we should mention our other sponsors before we do come to a close, because one of them is eyeing me down. So we've already talked about Black Cell Promotions being powered by them. They are the main sponsors. We got Set Media. She is a very talented photographer and becoming a very great videographer as well. We got iCut Vinyl. They supply us with our sweet sticker swag. and Keanu Airsoft. All the links for them will be in the descriptions down below. Any last words? Any like dad advice? Any
dad advice?
Dad advice. I've been listening to another podcast.
I don't know.
Well, I looked at Joel. He's a dad. I know that for sure. But
she's not big enough to hold the rifle. You give off the most dad vibes out of anybody else here.
Is it the Callaway sweater?
No, it's the fact that you look like you just got off the potato farm.
The hat was a gift, and it's very warm. I'm just waiting
for the white New Balance shoes to come out.
One day.
All right, guys. But on that note, both of us.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for having us, guys.
No, thank you for coming on. Like, this has been a great time.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun recording this episode. There's a lot of good information, too, guys. Mm. Be sure to check out Niagara Quartermaster at their website. Come in the store. Say hi. You know, check out them out on Instagram.
We all drink coffee black. Sorry.
Hey, it's okay.
Yeah. Black coffee. Like
bring coffee. An extra.
Black coffee for education.
There you go.
Just bring the big box of them because I'll be there too.
It probably. Happens.
Yeah. And,
with that, guys, hey, everyone listening, if you made it this far, thank you so much. You know, we got all, as always, more things coming down the pipeline. So be sure to fund stuff or whatever.
And, do the things so you stay up to date.
Yeah.
And
do just, all the things.
Yeah. Have a can-do attitude, everyone, and great day.